Thank you so much for being with us this morning. If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to begin in 1 Peter, the third chapter. 1 Peter, the third chapter, he gives us one of the truly great passages between he and Paul and the other New Testament writers about how we conduct ourselves in the world living for the Lord and at the same time shouldering responsibilities and difficulties and trials for that cause. But it's good to be with you this morning. Appreciate your presence. I hope it's been a blessing for you so far. Good singing. We had good Bible study this morning. Appreciate the efforts that so many put forth in doing the work of the Lord here. 1 Peter, the third chapter, Peter is writing to brethren who are suffering at certain degrees at different times. Back in the first chapter, verse 6, he says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." And we've pointed out before, over in the fourth chapter, he just tells them in verse 12, he says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice." He said, they're going to continue. The difficulties, the trials, walking in the path of the Lord is that which is demanded of us. But right in the middle, in the third chapter, he makes this statement in verse 13, and he's still talking about this idea of the difficulties and the trials of life. 1 Peter 3 and verse 13, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled." But verse 15 is the verse I want to look at with you this morning. Instead of being concerned and afraid and intimidated by their threats, he said, I want you to do something. Verse 15, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." I like verse 15, though. It just says so much, and there's so much in it. So many different concepts and ideas when he says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you of the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear." There's a lot there demanding of us in our thinking. But I really wanted to talk about there in just verse 15, the reason for the hope that is in you. And that's for us today also. The very way and the very purpose and the very reason we're here this morning is because of the reason of the hope that's within us. And Peter's wanting them to clarify that very thought in their heart and mind, the reason of their hope. What makes you do what you do in the service of God? What is it that's in your heart and in your mind about the service to Christ? And he says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Sanctify means to set apart, give him a special place in your heart. And as you read the rest of the Bible, you know that it means give him central place, the purpose of your life. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to defend or give an explanation or an apologia. Apologia is the Greek word there, and it means defend. We mean apology when we say I'm sorry, but that's not the way it was used. Defense is a good translation of that word. Give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason of the hope that is within you in meekness and fear. Be able to describe, why is it you believe in Christ? Why is it are you convicted that there is a hope in Christ? And that just zeroes right in on the idea of Christianity. The reason of your hope. And that's what Peter was telling them. He said, you have that in your mind. You understand that. And it comes right down to us today, the very same thing. Hope. The reason for your hope. What is your hope? We can many times hear that people have lost hope. You and I can understand that. The Bible talks about us having hope in the very face of death. In the Bible, the word hope is simply defined as the defines it as a favorable and confident expectation. Well, that's simple enough. Favorable and confident expectation. Another one defined it as a feeling of expectation and desire. And that's what hope is. I might have an expectation this week of going to the dentist, but I sure don't hope to go there. That's not something I desire. But you might have to if you got a broken tooth. That's just the way it is. But I still wouldn't really want to desire. Hope in the Bible is an expectation and a desire together. You might have a desire for some things, but not an expectation. I'd like to get a check in the mail for $1 million this week, but I don't expect that. So when we talk about hope, it's a combination of two things. Confidence in, favorableness of, and a desire. Boy, that's great. If we can be described as people of hope and the why of it. And he's talking about there the reason of the hope that is in you. Your hope. What is your hope? And there's so many different people who have different ideas about it. And he says, I want you to, he goes on to say, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give a defense to everyone who asks you of the reason. Everybody's wanted a reason from some many times. But when you look at the Bible, Solomon, if you go back to Solomon in Ecclesiastes 7, Solomon wanted to know the reason for everything, I guess. He wanted to understand everything. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 25, he said, I applied my heart to know, to search and seek out in wisdom the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly, even the foolishness and madness. He wanted to try to understand what is it that makes people foolish? What is it makes people madness and have be described in madness? Why you want to try to understand that, I don't know. His father, David, Psalm 14, said the fool has said in his heart what? His father, David, said the fool has said in his heart there is no God. That's foolishness to him. And he wanted to try, what is the reason for this? So, yeah, we want to know the reason for certain things, but here in 1 Peter 3, Peter is telling us to have an ability to explain the reason for the hope that is within us. And I suggest to you, it's very, very simple. But all through the Bible, especially in the New Testament, we have this idea of test things, prove things, show all things that we should have, let's see, 1 Thessalonians 5, right toward the end of the letter where he's sort of giving that list, a bullet list we call it sometimes, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, he says, rejoice always, verse 17, pray without ceasing, verse 18, in everything give thanks, verse 19, do not quench the spirit, verse 20, do not despise prophecy, verse 21. Test all things. Or another translation would be prove all things. Be able to give a reason for. Test it. Prove it. That's because John tells us over in 1 John 4 and verse 1, many false prophets have gone out into the world. Don't believe them. So we're going to have to test things. We're going to have to prove things. And yet here's Peter writing to the brethren in 1 Peter 3, he is saying, he said, I want you to be able to give a reason of the hope that is within you. In other words, he's wanting them to think through this idea of the hope of the gospel, the hope of Christianity. Certainly, if we have this hope within us, we would be able to set forth in our own thinking and in our own hearts that which would give us the strength to face life and everything about life. And we ought to know that. Over in Colossians, the fourth chapter, Paul makes this statement down, verse 6. He says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. When people ask you a question, be gracious in your speaking and in your answering, which is like seasoning food with salt. And we all understand that, like a little salt. It makes it more palatable. We can understand that. But he's saying, he said, let your speech always be with grace. Give a reason, thoughtful, considered explanation. And certainly, it would seem like if we had that, then certainly the giving of the answer for the reason of our hope would be the one thing that we could do. And yet, at the other side, we could go and talk about for a little while. Somebody who has a hope only in this life, that is pitiful. And that is sad. That's what the Bible just teaches us. Proverbs 14:32, the wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death. He has a safety in his death. Which was an amazing statement for Solomon to say back in the time of Solomon, Proverbs 14. David would write in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most what? Pitiful. Our hope in Christ is about the other side of life. We're not here that long. But turn with me over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the first chapter, and we read the very first verse, and he talks about our hope there, doesn't he? 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1. Paul writes to Timothy saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Well, you don't have to wonder about what our hope is. Jesus, the Son of God, is our hope. And it's more than that, but that's the solidified picture that we have in mind. Peter says it differently, 1 Peter 1, to make it a little more vivid maybe in our mind, the purpose of Christ. Not that Christ preached the Sermon on the Mount, which is great, but that's not the thing that Peter is saying. I want you to sanctify the Lord God in your heart to be ready always to give someone a reason for that hope. Well, our hope is Jesus Christ. Yes. But what about Jesus Christ? 1 Peter 1. Read verse 3. Peter says it this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Why a living hope? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's our hope right there. Jesus, who was raised from the dead. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our hope is the resurrection of the Son of God from the dead. And it's the most important thing that we keep before us. Paul told Timothy that Jesus is our hope. Peter wrote over here that we have been begotten to a living and alive and existing hope, a living hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our hope is that Jesus was raised from the dead. That gives us the confidence to continue on, to face whatever happens in this life. Because we believe that Jesus' tomb was and is an empty tomb. And nobody else has said that. There were people raised from the dead, but they have since passed on, not Jesus. The tomb of Jesus is empty. If you could find the tomb of Jesus today, somewhere over there, you would find that it is empty. Think of the very point that Jesus is making over in John, the 11th chapter, when Lazarus had passed away, and Martha and Mary were wanting Jesus to come to them. And down at verse John 11, take up verse 21, John 11, verse 21. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. There's the point. Her confidence in Jesus was what? He has the power of life. Or he has the power of death to overcome death. Verse 22, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Oh, what a thought. If we just get that in our hearts and minds, what a wonderful thought. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And look what Jesus said in verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She came to him and said, "Lord, I know that if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died." Which is, what a tremendous thought. And she even says, "I know it right now, even if you spoke the words, God would give you whatever you wanted." But Jesus wanted her to think what? Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And he goes on to make that statement as you continue down in verse 12. He said, "Whoever lives," and whoever, that includes you and I, "whoever lives and believes in me shall never die," which is wow, well, amazing thought. And then he asks us, "Do you believe this?" What is the explanation that Peter was wanting to sanctify in our minds and get it clear? Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give a reason of your hope. The reason of my hope is that Jesus was raised from the dead. He is Lord of lords and he is King of kings. He sits at the right hand of the Father on high, everywhere and for all time. That. It's not that hard. Matter of fact, if you're a child of God, you've known that. That's how you become a child of God. You're so convicted of it. You are baptized with him. You're buried with him. You're raised to walk in a newness of life. And it's so powerful. Look with me over in 1 Corinthians 15th chapter. The 15th chapter, you read down, beginning about verse 14, Paul is talking about what if Jesus wasn't raised. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty." I mean, that's laying it out there, isn't it? It's a waste of time. But if Jesus did rise from the dead, boy, that changes the whole game. And we have to respond to it. Verse 15, "Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ when he did not raise up." When he did not raise up. "If in fact he did not rise." Verse 16, "For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen." Verse 17, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile." You're still in your sin. Your faith is what? But Peter says, I want you to get this clear in your heart and mind. But the very reason, your very conviction of why you do what you do, why you spend your time in study of God's word and pray to God and you strive to live for him on a daily basis, why would you do that is what Peter is trying to get people to see over there. He says, sanctify, clarify in your hearts and mind and be ready always to give an answer. Why do you live the way you do? Why do you not do some of the things you don't do? Because Jesus, the Son of God, rose from the dead. And that changes everything. And one day we will pass from this life, but that will not be the end of us. And that's the thing he wants us to solidify in our heart and mind. This life is not all there is. There is hope. Someone have said one time, the only hope for a dying humanity is a resurrected Savior. And that's it. And that's Jesus. And through the Bible, you see different things. Through the New Testament, you see different things. First, Thessalonians, the fifth chapter. We looked at that just a few moments. Back up a few verses. First Thessalonians 5, you look at verse 8. Paul says, but let us who are of the day, excuse me, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. What's our hope? Well, it's the hope of salvation, of being saved from this sin-cursed world. And he said that salvation is in Christ. Look with me over in Titus, the first chapter. Titus, the first chapter, we read verse 1 and 2. Titus 1. Paul says, verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of God and of apostle Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 was the hope of salvation. Here's the hope of eternal life. Over in Philippians, the third chapter, Paul makes a different idea, the different hope that we have in Christ. Philippians, the third chapter, and we can just do the whole chapter here, really. Philippians, the third chapter, but let's just read verse 9. Philippians 3, verse 9, Paul says, and I desire to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of the suffering, being conformed to this death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. My hope is a hope of salvation, a hope of eternal life, a hope of the resurrection. More than that, what we've studied recently, 1 John, the third chapter, when studying this in class, 1 John, the third chapter, verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Where else would you get that? What philosophy, what religion on the earth today would you get that? One, Peter says, sanctify in your heart the Lord God, and be ready always to give an answer of the hope that is within you. You speak about the resurrection of Christ, and you let everyone else sneer and laugh and joke about it, but you believe it. You live it. Because that's the only hope of a dying humanity. That's it. It's appointed unto man who wants to die. We all know that. Hebrews 9, verse 27. It's appointed unto man who wants to die, and then the judgment. Back in 1 Peter again. 1 Peter, the third chapter. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to defend why you believe that. But just be ready. Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel at Rome. Romans 1, verse 15. He said, I'm prepared for that. That's what I want to do. And be ready to give an answer. This is what Peter is wanting us to do. To be ready means to be knowledgeable of something. Romans 15 and verse 4. The things that are written aforetime were written for what reason? Paul's telling the Romans, things that are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience of the Scriptures might have hope. And Peter's talking about hope all through here. and that we keep it crystal clear in our mind of who we are and what we are and why. 1 Corinthians 1, down about, again, we read a whole paragraph, but let's just look at verse 21. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Again, Paul here is talking about recognizing the obvious differences in our point of view, our attitude of life. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, "For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Not that it was foolish, but that the world calls it foolish. Verse 23, "For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." Verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified." We don't just preach Christ. You know what the story is when you talk about Christ. We preach Christ crucified. The greatest embarrassment to the Jewish religion was the Redeemer would be someone nailed to a cross. And the only way out of that was that he would be resurrected. And they did not accept that. But he says, the things that are written aforetime were written for our learning. Or over in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, you know these verses. 2 Timothy 2, and read down verse 15. "Be diligent," he says, "to present yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Be diligent to this. O King James says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Paul's telling us to do the same thing Peter's telling them to do over in 1 Peter 3. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Actually, the word means an earnestness about business. You take care of business, the way we would sometimes say it. And whether it's study to show yourself approved unto God or to be diligent to present yourself a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, that's the point. That's you and I. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Keeping before you what you are. And then over in the third chapter, in verse 15, 16, and 17, we were talking about that a little bit in class, in verse 15 of the third chapter, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scriptures given by inspiration. He goes on to talk about how important that is. What is our hope? Our hope is the resurrection of Christ. And when we say we're ready to explain the very simple idea of the gospel of Christ, the revelation of the Bible is that Jesus rose from the dead, and that's our only hope. And we need to come to him. And that being ready to say that implies knowledge, but then it also implies an obvious certain amount of willingness to understand that in our life, to live it that way, to present to people the things they may ask about. In Matthew 24, Jesus says, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you think not." Be ready. We live that way. He didn't say, go get ready. He said, be ready. And that's so important for us. We're talking about, as Peter, as we read here, when he says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer. It almost demands knowledge and experience of the Word of God. It demands of us having a willingness to do that, and then an ability to do that. And I don't mean an innate ability, but an ability that somehow we've let slip through our fingers. And we don't want that. What did Peter write to the brethren over in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, when he said, "For by this time you ought to be teachers, but you have need that someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." Stop with me now. Let me just stop here in 1 Peter, 3rd chapter again. Sanctify or set apart the Lord God in your hearts. This is why we go through what we do. We learn the things of God. We live for Him. We assemble and pray and sing and glorify and remember His death. Everything about Him, it defines our life. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason of the hope that is with Him with meekness and fear. You don't have to get in some long, drawn-out philosophical debate. That's not what He's talking about. He said, you'd be able to stand and tell someone that Jesus Christ and Him crucified and raised is the reason you do what you do. And if somebody said, well, I don't believe all that, and I don't believe people rose from the dead, and I said, well, then what is your hope when you face death? You have none. That's why Peter was wanting them to stand strong, to clarify in their minds Jesus Christ, Him crucified and resurrected, which gives us the idea of a living hope in this dying world. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, you need to be.